be rough. Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Pulling keys and laying pipe.
Let me give you some stats here you'll find fascinating. Since 2005, members of the European Union have aggressively pushed policies aimed at addressing climate change, global warming they used to call it. These policies, of course, have resulted in dramatic increases in the cost of electricity for residential and industrial customers. Between 2005, when the EU adopted its emissions trading scheme, and 2014, residential electric rates in the EU increased by 63%. By comparison, in the U.S., rates went up by less than half of that. Countries that have intervened the most have seen their prices go up the most. Germany, Spain, and the U.K. have seen their electric costs skyrocket quickly. And as far as emissions go, let me give you an example. The EU reduced its carbon dioxide emissions by 600 million tons per year between 2005 and 2014, but China, India, Indonesia, and Brazil, they increased their output by 4.7 billion tons, or eight times the reduction achieved by the EU. So where are we going? Nowhere fast, it would seem. Robert Bryce, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, to put together this little bit of information for me on the line. Robert, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It seems that we're running a fool's errand here.
And a costly one.
Yes.
It is remarkable when you look at what has happened in the EU, and we've seen occasional news stories that say, oh, well, here's what happened in Germany. Okay, well, what happened in Germany? Since 2005, residential electricity rates in Germany increased by 13 cents per kilowatt hour. Per kilowatt hour. That's the increase. Well, that's greater than the average price of electricity in the United States, which is 12.5 cents for residential customers. So we have the environmental groups continually holding up Germany. Oh, here's a great example we should follow. Residential electricity in Germany now costs 40 cents a kilowatt hour. That's three times the average rate in the United States.
How soon until we see 18-wheelers rolling down the highway with windmills on top of them to make it happen?
Well, I think probably about the same time you get that hat with the windmill on your head.
Yeah. How about freight trains? Are windmills and solar panels going to push freight trains over the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah, no, of course not.
And, why not? Come on.
Look, it's all about, in my fourth book, Power Hungry, I wrote about the four imperatives: power density, energy density, cost, and scale. It's the energy density, stupid. Why do we use diesel fuel and gasoline? Because the energy density in gasoline is, by weight, about 80 times that of the best lithium-ion batteries. You know, the electric car, we've heard about it for a century. It's the next big thing, and it always will be.
Well, for some people, though, I mean, in fairness, I saw Tesla over the weekend again. I think it's a beautiful car. It rockets out of a parking slip, and I think they might have it figured out a little bit better than some. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I absolutely agree. It's a beautiful car. It's super high performance, and I have a piece that's going to be published in USA Today next month on the electric car, but it's the average household income of the average Tesla S buyer is $293,000.
So it's not exactly the Model T.
Not the Volkswagen. We're subsidizing high performance automobiles for the Beamer and Benz crowd. Why? I have no idea.
Well, it looks cool.
Well, it looks cool. Okay, well, what would be the outrage if we say, oh, all you Bentley buyers here, we're going to give you a $7,500 tax credit because we know you like those leather seats on your
truck. Robert, I don't think you seem to understand that when you're headed to the airport to get in your private Learjet to go across America to discuss global warming and the plight of poor people, it's nice to get there in a Tesla, and I think you're missing that important point.
Oh, damn, Steve, you've got me there.
Come on. Have some sensibility, would you?
I do, since you brought up kindly brought up my paper, I'm compelled to bring up one other point.
All right.
Which is that not only are New York and California following directly in the EU's footsteps, but it was about a week or 10 days ago that Oregon passed the same mandates. The governor just signed into law a mandate in Oregon that will require them to hit 50% of their renewable energy, or to get 50% of their renewable energy, I think, by 2040. So we have three states in the United States that are following exactly in the footsteps of countries in the EU, even though it's clear that these policies have resulted in drastic increases in electricity costs.
Let me give you another term that I haven't heard in the discussion yet that I think is extremely important, because make no mistake, those that are hurt the most are those that can least afford it. Those on the bottom end of the income range are those that are going to get pinched. I mean, let's be honest. If your electric bill goes from 50 to 100 or 100 to 200, those that are making less money can least afford it. And then you end up with something called energy poverty, which means you can't have the lights on all the time, or you can't use the air conditioner when it's hot as much, or you have to restrict the use of different items that use a lot of electricity, like a microwave oven. You see, energy poverty is a real problem that is facing America if we continue to act in such a, well, a ridiculous fashion.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly. What we're seeing, and this is the part that just really chaps my hide, which is that we have on the green left and among the Democrats promotion of these policies that are going to increase energy costs, whether it's the ethanol mandates, which are actually another form of regressive tax because ethanol costs more than gasoline, or some of these electricity mandates for renewable electricity. They are ultimately regressive. They increase the cost of electricity across the board. And so, you know, people like, you know, that are doing well, the Tesla crowd, they can afford or won't even notice an increase in their electricity costs, whereas people who are working, you know, day-to-day working people or baristas at Starbucks or whatever, this is a bigger cost for them. So it's remarkable, though, that the people who say, oh, we're for the poor and the middle class, are pushing policies that hurt those very same people.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it, that their policies are more about government control than actually helping people? I'm shocked to learn that. I'll give you 15 seconds here for the last word, Robert.
Well, thanks. Look at the paper. It came out last week on Manhattaninstitute.org, Manhattan-Institute.org, and see for yourself. The numbers are clear. When you impose these kind of electricity mandates, costs go up across the board.
No question. Robert, great conversation, a little bit of levity to bring the point home, and I greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve.
There you have it. Robert Bryce, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Look it up, Manhattan-Institute.org. Find out the facts. Find out the facts, my friends. Back in a moment on the Steve Gerber Show.